This is a duplication tape of Mrs. Bessie Wong Lim. Interview. Tape 1. Southern California Chinese American Oral History Project, jointly sponsored by the UCLA Asian American Study Center and the Chinese Historical Society of Southern California.
Mrs. Lim, where were your parents from?
From China.
And when did they come to the States?
Oh, it's been so long ago. I think it's been here. My father would be over 100 years old. And I think they came, my mother was only 15 when she married my father. So it must be about 90 years ago, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. But did they marry in China or marry here?
They married in China.
Uh-huh.
And he brought her here.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So, and when did he die? How old was he when he died?
He died when he was 72 years old.
Uh-huh. What year was that?
I don't remember. What year is that? It's in... what year can that be? Huh? 72. See, we have so many children that it's kind of hard for me to say. 1979. Could be he died in 70. He was 72 years old. Oh, I was only 11 years old.
Uh-huh. When were you born?
65. I don't want to give my age or my year of born. I'm just...
Roughly?
Okay. When I was born... You really want to know? 1912. Well, I'm over. Well, you know how old I am.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So you were 11 years old when your father died.
Yeah.
Okay. Then we can figure out how old your father, when your father came.
He was 15. I think I overheard that my mother was 40 years old. I mean, my father's 40.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So he died when he was 72. 72 years, I'm quite sure he was 72 years old.
Mm-hmm. Where did your father settle when he came
to the States? He settled in Chinatown.
In Los Angeles?
In Los Angeles, Chinatown.
Uh-huh. And what did he do?
He's an herbalist.
Uh-huh. And where did he learn all about
herbs? He learned this all in China.
In China?
Uh-huh.
Did he open up a shop here in Los Angeles?
He opened an herb store. Herb store was on one side, living quarters on the other side.
Where was that?
That was in Alameda Street, 711 and a half North Alameda. I distinctly remember that address because we have to walk to school, see?
Mm-hmm.
So he died when I was in grammar school. He walked. As soon as I walked in the house, he passed away. I guess we were the youngest, my brother and I. And he just passed on there. So my mother continuing living in that same area, the
mm-hmm.
same house.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you want to hear about my mother too?
Okay, we'll get to that too.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember anything about your father's herbalist shop, what it was like, the kinds of people who came in?
Yes, Caucasian people.
Caucasian people.
Uh-huh. And he have a lot of recommendations of how he cured them. It's amazing because a man who did not speak English can carry on all that, you know, how to cure people and how to take care of them. I should have kept some of those. It would be interesting for your mm-hmm. what you're going to put on our book, you know.
He didn't speak English?
No, not that I remember. Mm-hmm. I don't remember him speaking English at all. It was always in Chinese to us, you know, how they, that's how we learned how to speak Chinese, you know. If we didn't, because we got spanked, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So Chinese was the language that was used at home?
Yes, yeah, home, always, uh-huh. at that time.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Did the children go to Chinese school?
Only me.
Why only you?
Because I don't know why he just demanded on me to go to Chinese school. I didn't rebel. I always do everything what he tells me. I don't know where my brother went or not, because he's younger than I am. See, I don't know whether he did or not. So,
mm-hmm.
so I really can't tell you.
How many years did you go?
I just went up to the fourth grade.
Uh-huh.
The fourth book, is that fourth grade?
I'm not sure how they did that.
Yeah, at that time, I don't know, but I did learn quite a bit of Chinese, you know. And my father opened, you want me to tell you, my father opened the first Chinese school in Chinatown.
Uh-huh.
That's why he made me go to school.
Where was that?
That was on Los Angeles Street, just right in back of our house. We live in Alameda, and the Chinese school was on Los Angeles Street, but I don't know the address. It's right in back, he opened the Chinese school.
What do you mean by he opened the Chinese school? Did
he started the Chinese school. He owned the Chinese school. He started the first Chinese school in Chinatown.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really very interesting. That's why he made me go, because it was his. Maybe he didn't have to pay tuition or something like that. I don't know. I don't remember that far back. But that's what it is. And he made me go to Chinese school because he wants me to learn Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
And I did obey, you know. Maybe I quit after he died or something. I don't know what happened to that Chinese school afterwards. I know he started the first Chinese school in Chinatown.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And how long did he have his herbalist shop?
All his, as long as he came to the United States. And he had 14 children. You know, so I don't know how long he's been here, tell you the truth. Was he 40 or 30 or whatever? I knew he was much older than my mother. My mother was a child bride. She was only 15, I heard.
Mm-hmm.
She was very young.
Mm-hmm.
Very young girl.
Last time you were telling me that your father set up a Chinese bathhouse?
Yes, he believed in cleanliness. Every morning he'd be washing his own hair, and he'd make us take a bath in that big tub, you know, where you wash your clothes. We don't have a bathhouse where we live at, you know. At that time, you don't have no bathhouse. You don't have no... All you have is a little place to go to. Oh, toilet, you know,
mm-hmm.
that's all. And no wash basin. So he made us take a bath every day, be clean, and he opened a bathhouse.
Can you tell me more about the bathhouse?
The bathhouse only have three bathtubs, you know, it's an old-fashioned bathtub, which was very interesting. And so I always remember that part, because he always made me scrub the tub. It was so dirty, you know. That was my after school work, you know. Had to come home and work, because that way I get my allowance money to go to buy my lunch at school.
Was this bathhouse
right
part of the herbal store too?
No, it was about three doors away from our herb store. I remember that. And then there used to be a nice little quarter around there. And right in back of our house was a railroad track. That's where we used to go out and play baseball.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I like baseball.
Mm-hmm. How did he manage both the herbal store and the bathhouse? Did he have somebody else help?
Well, he has somebody help. The bathhouse can run by itself. All they do is pay, and they can use the bathhouse. See?
Do you remember how much it was to take?
I think it's only 50 cents or 25 cents to take a bath there. Very, very cheap just to use the bath, you know. But it was very dirty for me to go and scrub the tub all the time.
Was that bathhouse used by a lot of Chinese?
Yes, by Chinese
people. Only Chinese?
Uh-huh. Chinese people, huh? As far as I remember, it's just Chinese people.
Would there be women and children who would also go there too, or mostly single men?
No, anybody could use it if they want to use it. It's just a public bathhouse. It's just like you go to a public toilet, but you got to pay to use the bathhouse. We really remember there's only three bathtubs in there. And then on the back, he has his little living quarters. And I think when he's not doing his herb work, he'd be over the bathhouse, because it's just two doors or three doors away.
Mm-hmm.
So you know how herbs are. At that time, people wanted go to be an herbalist. And he opened a bathhouse, and the school was run by a teacher he hired, see.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How long did he have the bathhouse?
He had the bathhouse until he died.
Did he have that shortly after he had the herb store?
No, later on.
How much later?
Oh, I don't really remember. Quite a while later on, because I guess he was tired of us seeing us taking a bath in the tub, see, because we have to bathe ourselves somehow. So he opened a bathhouse for the convenience of us family and for the public. But in time, at that time, it would be good to make money too, you know, how to earn money to support so many children.
Were you paid for helping him wash the bathtubs?
Top, I get 10 cents, I guess, for my lunch money. I'm lucky I get 10 cents, or maybe 5 cents. Sometimes if I asked him for my pay, he would spit on your palm. Very strict, my father.
In what ways?
Oh, very strict. Well, my sister got married, and then this is very interesting, because on the day of her wedding to the man she's supposed to be, not in love. So the day before her wedding, she ran away.
So it was an arranged marriage?
Arranged marriage. She ran away. So ever since then, even as little as I am, he just sit in front of my bedroom door and just sat there. Nobody's going to take this little girl away from me, he said. He always said that. He was very strict, he said. And also, he said, every girl should get married when they're 18. He upped his age more than 50. He married a 15-year-old girl, but to his girls, they have to be 18. And they have to get married when they're 18.
Did he arrange your marriage? Or?
Oh, no, I didn't get married till my mother passed away. No.
So in what other ways were...
In fact, I'm glad that he wasn't here to arrange marriage. If I get to 18 when I was only 11, I wouldn't marry the man of my choice, you know. I would marry the man he wants me to marry.
So in what other ways was he a strict father?
Well, when we have dinner at home, we cannot speak at all. We cannot converse with each other. And when we get through eating, we have to take our chopstick and our plates and everything, put it over the sink, pile it nicely so my mother can wash the dishes. You know,
Did your parents talk during mealtime?
No, they didn't talk at all. We're not supposed to talk with each other. We're supposed to enjoy our meal. We're not supposed to talk. But that's, in a sense, that's true, though. How can you enjoy your dinner and keep on talking? Your food won't even digest. Isn't that right?
Uh-huh.
He has the right point, but then sometimes he is so strict that if you don't listen to him, he would just, like that, he give them a lean gawk in Chinese to. He would just say something to you, or just he would chop it like that at your hand, you know, and then we mind, because, you know, we have to at that time. Because at that time, no girls go off to work, you know, especially when you're a girl about 11 years old. And so I listened, but the older ones didn't listen, you know, they just happened to move out, you know. Father was too strict. I'm telling you the truth, we really are not allowed to talk. We really have to just take our chopsticks away, and then my mother had to do the dishes, and she prepared the meals, and then he would just eat and just get up, and then, see, when other Caucasian people eat, they'd sit around the table and have to be excused, but he excused us from getting up our plates and our chopsticks and put it over by the sink. So that was it.
What kind of a family? Life was there, for example, on a Sunday, or, you know, when there was some free time. Did the family ever do any things together?
All I remember is that we just eat together, you know. We don't have anything like picnics or anything like that. But the only thing we are allowed to do is go to the back and play games in the back of the railroad tracks, play ball. That's all I remember. In our house, I faintly remember, it's kind of cute. We have a little yard in the back. We have a little garden in the back, you know, and fence all around. And my mother would go plant vegetables, you know, and he would plant vegetables and have a little fruit tree, you know. Even down in Chinatown that time, we have a little garden, you see. it was a nice little house that we didn't have a bathroom or a bathhouse or a bathtub.
Where was the house?
711 and a half North Alameda.
Oh, that's where the house was too. That's
the house was there, and the garden was there, and the living quarters were there, and the herbalist was there. It was a real nice herb store. Right, one side was real nice, teak wood furniture and all that. You know, it was very, very nice. It was a very nice herb store. Mm-hmm. He was a very good herbalist.
Since your father was so strict, did he also have you involved in Chinese activities or doing things?
No,
Chinese,
no.
Like listening to music, operas,
no,
or
no
reading?
Oh, we have Chinese records, you know. But then he enjoyed it, but we didn't understand. I didn't understand it. He liked it.
But he didn't make you...
No, he didn't make us do it. The only thing he made me do was to go to Chinese school, to learn how to speak Chinese, which was very important to him because he taught himself all this himself without, you know, without a teacher. He must be a philosopher coming from the old country because he was so well-read, you know, so educated in his own ways, and he didn't speak a word of English. I don't know how he did it, but it's amazing how he did all this thing, how he can cure people, you know, and his symptoms. He must have interpreter at that time, which I wouldn't remember, you know. He must have. How can he cure the Caucasian people with speaking English?
Did the children help out at the herb store?
No, my mother did. My mother did. I think she didn't speak English either, but she watches and she watches. You know how you know they're very intelligent in their way from the country. She just watched him put the herbs together, and she can do that herself. When we have colds, now this is one thing my father said about colds. When you eat fried food, you must eat a strong cup of tea to cut all that grease out of your system. So I've always listened to him about that part, you know. In fact, I still believe in herbs. I think it's very good when you have colds and flus. And it won't hurt you. It will help you.
Did you use herbs with your children and your family?
No, they wouldn't think of it. They're too Americanized for that. Try to tell my children that it does help, you know. Uh-huh. But they don't believe in that, you know.
Do you still use herbs yourself?
I use herbs. I do.
What kinds of herbs?
I go to the herbalist, and he just touch my feel my pulse, and can tell you whether you have high blood pressure or things like that, or what made you dizzy, and I get a dose of herbs. It's very good if you believe in herbs. I believe in herbs, but it couldn't cure a lot of things, but it do cure your colds and dizziness and high blood pressure and things like that. It's very good.
Mm-hmm. But how many in your generation do you think still believe in herbs?
Oh, there's quite a few in my generation. There's quite a few people who believe in herbs. In fact, excuse me, I just recommend a friend of mine to go to the herb store to cure his cough, which he couldn't cure otherwise, and it helped him because he got so tired of not taking all this cough medicine and getting help, so it did help. So I really believe, not because my father is an herbalist, because he was a good one. And on account of him, I believe in herbalists. I recommend herbs to everyone if they believe in it, because it really don't hurt you. Mm-hmm. But that's the one thing he told me. If you eat fried food, drink a strong cup of tea. And that tea is called Yibaxi Cha. Mm-hmm. It comes in little cubes. Have you heard the bite before?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Uh-huh. Yibaxi Cha, you know. Mm-hmm. It's very good. It's kind of got a gum taste to it. It's very good. Mm-hmm. And I can't find it lately since I went up. They always give me some cold tea, but that tea isn't for colds. It's just a strong tea for you to eat, like eat fried chicken or every time we eat fried rice, he said, you drink some of that tea, it's good for you, see?
Mm-hmm.
So that was his way of taking care of his family,
mm-hmm.
which he wasn't a rich man. I mean, I guess when he died, he had about $4,000, not quite $4,000, see? Because I was only one left, everyone went away, so I had to take care of my mother, so that was a $4,000, you know. But maybe at 50 years back at that time, or 60 years, I mean, That was a lot of money, isn't it?
So you were the youngest of 14 children?
Yeah. I have a younger brother, you know, I'm an extra younger.
Oh, so you were the next to the youngest?
Yeah, uh-huh. 1 year apart.
What part of China were your parents from? What part of Canton?
Canton, he came from Gambian village. Just a Wong. It's very well known here in Los Angeles Chinatown. Gambian, I'm very proud of it. Gambian village.
Uh-huh. And how about your mother?
My mother, I don't know. My mother, I wouldn't know. But all this I hear from my father, see, because he married an infant. You know, he married, took her back to China to marry an infant. And also, my mother delivered all her children.
At home.
Because I really remember how I remember my brother Bruce. My mother was sitting in a, lying down in a corner. I said, I wonder what she's doing back there. Just peek around, peek. I wonder what she's doing there. I know she was groaning. I barely remember she was groaning, but I paid no attention to her. Then there was a little brother coming on the way. She just cut the tube and there was, got up, and she a brave woman. She just got up and cut the cord and just washed it, and she's up working again. Isn't that amazing?
She delivered all her children.
Mm-hmm. In my birth certificate, I don't even have a father or a doctor's name on it. You know, it's her. I mean, she delivered me. No wonder I'm so tired. It's amazing how those people of that time can do so many things. Now we have to go to a hospital and have a doctor have injections and all that, you know. And it's amazing how we live, you know. Not the wealthiest people in the world, but we got by.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe at that time with $4,000, you're very rich.
Mm-hmm.
And he was looked up to by the Wong's people in Chinatown. When he died, it was the biggest funeral there was. It was biggest funeral. And there was another brother older than I am. So we're the three of the youngest.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to walk. We have to walk all the way. All the way. And Chinese people believe in going by your house to get the soul or take him with him, you know. So we walked and walked, and then there was a band of, Chinese band was coming on first, and we carried little urns with some punks growing on it, and I remember that part. Just carrying a little urn, and then punks were like the punk, and we walked and walked. And toward the end of the procession, there was Salvation Army band. And we had a great big picture of my father. I distinctly remember that because not very long ago I saw one of those in Chinatown, you know. I said, oh gosh, look at my father's funeral, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So everything don't come back to me because it's so long ago. It's fun to remember. Good thing I didn't forget. It's fun to remember all this. But I do remember he's very strict.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't get up a certain time, come to my room, he would pour water over you. He threatened to, but I never have felt water, but he's always threatening, you know. If you don't get up in a certain time in the morning, I'm going to pour this pot of water over you. That's how strict he was. Yes, he was very strict.
Uh-huh. Mm. But so the children never rebelled or never gave him a hard time?
They gave him a hard time. We didn't rebel. They just go away, see. But I didn't have the chance to rebel because I wasn't that old to rebel. I couldn't run away. I was too young, you know. Probably I would run away if I was older, but I wasn't, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They were thinking about my mother, too, you know.
Because
I was still going to grammar school at that time. She going to grammar school when I walked in, he was gone, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a happy family, you know,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't a rich family, but it was a very strict family.
Can you tell me a little bit more about your mother?
Oh, my mother's very interesting. She's the sweetest lady in the world. Then when my father died, and she can take care of the herb business.
She could. She
studied, I mean, she did it on her own. Then when my sister didn't want a baby, she can give him the dose of herbs that can cure her for good. Isn't that amazing? She cured her, you know. So then afterwards,
what do you mean by cured her?
Well, just like they take a pill now, she can give her a dose of herb that she can't have any more children after that. And herb can do that. I don't know how she did it. I don't really don't know. But my mother's a happy-go-lucky person. See, after my father died, maybe I shouldn't tell you this, but we stayed up all night. It was over after his service and burial service. We have to have that month mourning for Chinese, or maybe being a husband, be a 3 months, I believe. So we played Chinese dominoes. My mother taught me how to play Chinese dominoes. So we stayed up all night just with no father around. She's just living the life of Riley, I guess. She was just having a good time showing her children how to play dominoes, you know, because she have all the saying then, see. And we stayed up and we cook, and all the young people love my mother. They all come into the house, they all get together and use her oven to bake cakes and bake cookies, and all the other older Chinese women come around and gather around my mother. She was a lovable lady. She was happy. She never see any bad points about other people. Mm-hmm. She opened them with welcome arms.
Mm-hmm. Did she still run the bathhouse too and the Chinese school?
No, that bathhouse. No, she didn't run the Chinese school then, because I don't remember the Chinese school at all then.
And how about the bathhouse?
No, not the bathhouse either. I don't remember the bathhouse. After that, we went back to our tub again, you know. I don't remember the bathhouse. We could have had it, but after that, we moved up to Uptown.
Where'd you move?
We moved to 2156 West 30th Street, around that area over there, which was nice then. So we bought a house there, and she died there. Then I went with my sister.
How old were you when she died?
Oh, I was just about 17, 18 years old, going on 18. You were very young.
Uh-huh. And so who took care of you, your older sister?
No, I worked. I worked all that time. She didn't take care of me. I lived with her. I paid my share of everything, of my rent and everything. You know, at that time I was very Americanized then, you know, because I was brought up by a Scotch-American mother after that. I worked at the store, and I was brought up by a Scotch-American mother, which was very lovely. Ida Mays. It's not there anymore. Her name was Jane Lawrence. I can never forget her. She was so sweet. They made my wedding gown and everything, you know, and she was at my wedding, just like a mother to me. I was brought up by Caucasian people, which I was happy.
Mm-hmm.
I learned everything there, and I, you know.
Did you live with this woman?
Yeah, I stayed with her until, you know, everything happened, and I worked there.
What did you do their store?
I did everything. Did clerical work. You know, at that time, clerical work, stock girl, take money to the bank to deposit, you know.
What kind of a store was it?
It was a very well-dressed, well-made, one of the finest stores at that time. It was Ida Mays, next to Coben Furs.
A department store?
It's a small, exclusive dress shop.
A dress shop.
In fact, Loretta Young came in there to shop. Loretta Young and all the movie stars. And then, beside that day when I saw Loretta Young down in Chinatown eating, was quite a while ago. And I told her, I said, Miss Young, I used to shop at Ida Mae. She said, yes. She said, I remember Ida Mae, she said, Loretta Young. And she gave my daughter, who was a little girl then, she wanted autographs, so she gave an autograph of that sign. I knew your mother when, you know, that's what she said, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was very nice of her to say that.
Mm-hmm.
So that was very interesting, and then I got married, that's all. And I still have to go to work because my husband wasn't well.
Can you tell me briefly first what schools you went to?
I went to Hewitt Street School.
That's a grammar school?
Grammar school. That's the only school I went to because I didn't have the chance to go to any other school, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I did go to a night school,
mm-hmm.
you know, a business school.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember the school, but I went to business school to try to learn more about business, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But at that time, I think things weren't so complicated. Things seemed to come in easy then. What you would learn now. Now they have computer, now they have this, you have to go to school for that. At that time, if you know how to pick up things, you can pick up real fast. And I was going to be, then from Ida Mays, I went over to I. Magnus. You want to know about that too? I. Magnus to work.
When was that?
After I left the Ida Mays, I went over to I Magnus to work. I did the same thing.
What year or how old you were?
Oh, no, I don't remember how old I was then. I didn't have my son then, you know. Then it was after that big earthquake we had, I forgot, 1939? Do we have a big earthquake in 1939?
39.
Wasn't that?
I think so. 36 or something?
So around that time.
Yeah.
I was on a streetcar coming home when that big earthquake happened. I was working Pasadena, I Magnus.
Mm-hmm.
And then the lady who was hiring people wanted me to go back to school, which I should. She wants to groom me to have a better job, you know, but then I was pregnant.
Mm-hmm. When did you get married?
Continue to side B for tape 1.